Okay, so we're going to proceed. We're going to continue from where we left off. I just have to get on Zoom. And we're going to try to do like this hybrid. I guess this will be a good dry run for for when we ultimately get back after after Yontif, Yom Yirtzeh Hashem. Things stay on course. We'll try to do, you know, both. Here, I'm guessing that the majority of people are on Zoom by far. So we're going to try to definitely call on people on both. And again, would you be able to hear if they're called on through the computer? Not so much, or yes. Well, we'll try. And if not, I guess we can put the microphone to them. And if not, you'll use the microphone, whoever we call on, to speak so that they can hear you. Okay, how do we begin with this? How do we get them on? Where did he go, Ari?
We're on, ready.
Oh, we're on over there. Ah, okay. Hi, that's, oh, I see myself up there. It looks a little scary with the mask. I wouldn't recognize myself either. Okay. Is there any way I can see also the people on the screen here?
Yeah.
So I don't have to turn the other way? Can you all hear me?
What is this?
Clearly. Okay, I see Ezra Rothblatt. Okay, we're gonna try to. Oh, you can't have it on both.
I'm assuming you can. I feel like that'd be crazy if you can.
Okay, we're just trying to work out some technical glitches just for a moment. You can also hear. You can hear and see.
Is this Ari's computer?
Yeah.
This is Ari's computer. Yeah.
Well, then,
I guess I can always turn around. If I turn around, they can still see me, right?
So you just zoom up and
see. But if I do this, they can't see me.
Well, I think the camera's set. No, they can. The camera's like...
Oh, they can see me either way. Okay. Is there any way I can see them on the screen at the same time? This is like the template for success. We cracked the whole corona conundrum. Okay, excellent.
Hey, bro.
And if I want to see other people, I can just...
Yeah, there.
Okay, great. So we can begin. Okay, so first I just want to thank... you guys can all see me. If not, you'll make yourselves known and heard. We're going to try to do this hybrid thing. And everybody can hear, despite the mask. You guys can hear in the crowd. Okay. And you guys can hear on the screen? Okay.
Yes.
Just let me know, both groups, you know, if we have a glitch, if you can't hear or, if, you know, something is amiss. Okay? So just everybody should have a little patience because we're going to try to do this. And we're going to try not to shortchange any group. So we'll try to call on people from both groups. We're going to be very ambitious. But let me begin just by thanking Ari. Is he still here? Where is he? I just want to thank Ari for organizing. He's the one who contacted me, and he's also the technical whiz. If anybody has any computer issues, problems in general, apparently Ari's one of the people that I probably shouldn't have done that to you, right? No, I'm just trying to raise your profile, you know. But, you know, it's like what happened to my son Avigdor. I think I once said that, and then everybody started going to him for their computer problems. Which he liked in the beginning, but then became a little like onerous. So we don't mean that you should waste Ari's time. We mean that we should all just acknowledge his, like, you know, his prowess in this area. But either way, thanks for setting things up. So this is like, you know, one small step, I guess, for you know, for this year, but I guess a leap for the return to normalcy, we hope. Certainly, it's the first year I've given many, many shiurim since March. Probably over the summer, I gave more than I usually give because everybody's been at home, not Talmidim, but, you know, other shiurim. So there have been many, many shiurim, but this, for me at least, is a bit of a shechiyanu. I'm not going to say it b'shem malchus because I'm a Talmud of the Rav, and, you know, we're very reticent about doing those kind of things. But I do feel that this is an important milestone. As I said, it's the first in-person shiur that I've been able to give. And, you know, being able to see people even masked and even being masked, which is less than, you know, fully ideal, but does represent, I think, progress. And we should be optimistic, and we should try to continue in a safe way, you know, to return to a more optimum state. So it's really a pleasure to be here. And I don't know if there's any way that the group can see the other group or not. That technologically doable or not? Some things are beyond our grasp. Okay. But we have, you know, just for the audience at home, we have about, you know, 10, 12 people here. There's no way that they can see them, right?
We got another camera.
Like, yeah. No, it's not necessary. Oh. Okay. Just for the sake of, you know, Achtus, I guess. Okay. So we're going to begin forthwith with the shir because that's much more important. And we're going to try to involve both groups. And I say, in addition to being the milestone and something that we have to work out the kinks going forward, you know, again, it is a bit of a also, you know, way of figuring out the best way to do this hybrid, you know, in-person and Zoom combination. Okay, so let's begin where we were and get back to the token. And again, if people can't hear, either here or there, you'll let me know. I'm always concerned that the thing is blocking and therefore you can't hear, but just saying you can all hear sufficiently. Okay, so we've been discussing, we had two shiurim so far as part of our hakdama. We'll try to speed up the hakdama a little bit more, accelerate it. I always say that it doesn't always work out that way, but I think these hakdamos prepare us by providing a framework and a context for the limud for the year. So even though they're not, again, this time we were able to start on that base with Tosis, sometimes we don't even have that luxury. They take us off the daf for a while, but I do think that they are enriching in terms of the perspective that we provide. It's an investment essentially going forward, and I'm a person who believes in investing, and especially in spiritual matters, and therefore that's what we're doing. So we began by discussing the seemingly local question of Tosis, which is why is there a requirement of Bidikas Chametz? To that I added the question, why does the Masechta begin with Bidikas Chametz? We saw that Bali Tosis in some places give technical answer to that question. But the question of why is there Bidikas Chametz was then amplified by some of the other Rishonim and certainly some of the other later poskim, but we'll see in a minute, some of the Talmidei HaRashba and their more exotic svarim that I alluded to, the Tzora Chaim, the Drashos of Rabbi Yoshua Ibn Shuib, which you don't have in front of you unless you have the book that I recommended, this Torah of Rishonim, but I'll get to it in just a second, amplify the question, not why is there Bidikas Chametz, but, you know, a broader Manishtana, why do we encounter in Chametz phenomena that seem to be unparalleled, you know, even in other Isurim Chamurim. And to that list, we have, you know, Bahira, Tashbisu, Kares, we have in other places, but why is this particularly Kares, you know, as opposed to other, Nevela's not Kares, Chelev and Damar Kares. So that's a question. But other things, some which are drabanan and some which are daraisa, but the question of mashahu, again, we're to discuss tarovas chametz, and some other phenomena as well, all belong as part of this presentation and question. So what I was suggesting so far is that there can be, broadly speaking, three approaches. One is least ambitious of the approaches. And that certainly is Tosis's, the impression of Tosis, first Dea. On Sunday, we expanded, I showed you just some other formulations of this that are more expansive. That is the, you know, it looks like this is more chomor, but maybe it's more chomor because it's overcompensating. That's the Bedili in Shimine perspective. Now, that perspective doesn't yet say that Chametz is actually more kal, Maybe it's equal to, maybe it's more column, maybe it's more column more. But either way, the phenomena are attributed not to anything other than compensation. And that is an important perspective. And I say one which is expanded upon. In the Masechta, we need to keep our eye open now that our consciousness has been raised. Which dinim depend on bedili mine, the fact that typically we don't look at chametz as being anathema, something that is like a toxic spiritual substance. Typically, we look at it as, you know, something that is good, but that is asur on chametz and Pesach. And therefore, psychologically, that generates problem. The phrase bedili mine does appear in the Gemara in several contexts, and that's important. The Gemara says if you find chametz on Pesach, you know, what do you do with it? We'll discuss those Gemaras. It might matter whether it's Hekdesh or not. But, you know, do you have to build a mechitza? Like, part of that is bedili mine. So is that a very local issue? Or, well, we've seen in the Rishonim, this is typical. This is, you know, a Derech HaLimud point, is that the Rishonim and the Poskim are going to bring proofs from or invoke principles that exist, whether it's logically and in this case in other Gemaras. And the question that we need to be sensitive about is whether or not those are compelling, are those simple applications, or are they compelling new applications, or are they, nitan to be argued about? And again, the use of the phrase bedili, you know, is a good treatment, you know, to explore. When does the Gemara use it, and how limited is it? When do the Rishonim and when do the Achronim use it? How far does it get pushed? That's an important principle, but that's the first perspective. The idea that the bedili mine might, you know, particularly apply to achila is obviously something to consider. And here too, just like I just said, Tosis, you know, tries to show that chashash achila plays a role beyond achila, that it plays a role even in bedika. As we already noted, it could be that that's just a shiur in makom shemachnisin bo'os hachametz, or chametz that, you know, is a presence. It doesn't necessarily mean that the mechayev of the bedika, right, is the siag of achila. But Tosis took it that way, and that's why it's important. That's the first perspective. We don't need to review it anymore. Correct. The second perspective in Tosis is that dafka chametz is more chamor. Not compensation. There's no bedili in the second view. It sounds like it just is more chamor, and that these these indications are characteristic. And then the question is, which one are quoted, which one are not, becomes very telling, as we discussed, right? Is it because, are you going to quote Kares? Are you going to quote Bal Yirah as Tosis does? Certainly the way I understand it. Not that Bal Yirah also is a Siag Daraisa, as some Rishonim had it, but the way I understand Tosis, it's a reflection of the Chomer HaDavar. So are you going to quote Kares? Are you going to quote Bal Yirah? Are you going to quote Tashbisa? Are you going to quote Mashu, the Radvaz, you know, and others quote Mashu, some of them quote Kares. So this becomes a very different perspective. In between those two perspectives is the question of whether or not they're mutually exclusive. There might be two dinim in chametz, some that are kamsak, some that flow from bedili mine, the psychology, and some which are functions simply of the chomer hadav. But this pushes us to take a step back in a way and to wonder about the status of chametz in general. The psychology, again, doesn't tell us anything about the actual status of chametz, but it does raise the question. In other words, people, you know, puk chazi ma'am adavar. Sometimes people are right and sometimes they're wrong. But the halacha respects people's instincts. It doesn't just, you know, acknowledge them and therefore, in some cases, try to neutralize, you know, mistakes and so on, which is the bedili here. But it also sometimes recognizes that there's a certain wisdom in what people think. So what about the fact that people are bedili because, in fact, chametz is singular in a seemingly makel way, and that is that kol ha'shana, it's kal. That could be a basis, even though that's not what Tosis says in the first day, for thinking that at least for some dinim, dafka chametz is kal. In other words, in the profile or the hierarchy of isurim, you know, where does chametz stand becomes an important question with potential nafkaminas, and also in terms of the lumdus of it, an important question just to understand what it is that we're studying and learning about. Last year we learned the Masechet Kulin, right? Even some of the people in the room were here, and certainly many people on the Zoom. So we discussed a lot the question of, you know, profile of different Isuri, whether it's the Macholos Asuros or Isuri Ana. That's part of the story too, which Macholos Asuros also have Isuri Ana. We'll discuss that with regard to Chametz. But, you know, things like Avodah Zarah, mostly we discussed last year the Isur of Nevela and the Isur of Trefa and how they stack up to things like Chila Vendam and Nosar, you know, and Pigol in terms of the language that the Torah uses, in terms of the factor of, let's say, Timtum Halev, you know, whether you make a bracha, you know, when you violate, whether you make a bracha when you eat to the Bikuach Nefesh, things, all those kind of issues are relevant to Chametz as well. We're not going to prosecute those issues right now, but again, on the one hand, you could say about Chametz that, you know, can't be that toxic. It can't be Metamteh Misalev, just to use the expression the Ramban likes, Timtum Alev. It has Kabbalistic overtones too, I might add, probably not coincidentally. But this idea of, like, you know, a spiritually toxic substance, you know, that if you eat it, you know, it affects you, you know, separate from the violation, you know, itself. So this idea is hard to say about chametz, meaning chemically, even its spiritual chemical makeup, presumably, doesn't all of a sudden transform, you know, at Bein Hashmashos, you know, of Pesach night, or even at Achilek time, Chatzos, of the afternoon, you know, of Yom Yudalit. So the idea that this is in Mutter Kol Hashana, we'll see an expression of it in just a minute, and therefore it isn't really so terrible, you know, is a very reasonable perspective. Namely, let's call it the Iser Zman idea as a kula. At the same time, this is what I was trying to push yesterday, there seems to be contrary evidence. So is it despite the fact that it's an Iser Zman, or is it also another way of looking at it because it's an Iser Zman? In which case, its kula, right, becomes a food for thought that leads you to the conclusion of its chubra. Namely, this perfectly noble, we could say this, we'll start, you know, Minakal Lakaved, this perfectly, you know, innocuous substance, you know, or maybe even the staple of our diet and something that we admire, you know, and project stature for, all of a sudden became, you know, subject to all these Isurim, and the language and Chazal, and especially the halachos themselves reflect, you know, this toxic, you know, character. So in that respect, you might say, well, you know, the disconnect between chametz and the zman of chagamatzos is such that it, you know, if it makes it aser, it makes it, you know, if it can make it aser, let me say, then, you know, it can only make it aser because it's really a stira, gemura, you know, given the context and framework to the principles, you know, that we are trying to promote on this holiday. And if that's the case, then surely that is very significant, and then it becomes a basis for being a chumra. This is what I was trying to suggest, that the idea that the Radvaz throws out, you know, in his, you know, second effort to explain the Manishtana, not the three, you know, combination, which I think is mostly sounds quantitative, is, and then something which he kind of immediately retracts, is based on this idea. Because what he's emphasizing is the fact that this is an Iser Zman, and it's ke. He doesn't say actually, interesting. Kid Davar Shiyei Shlo Matir. We'll talk about Davar Shiyei Shlo Matir in just a minute. But, and then he, you know, almost Tochidei Dibor, he, you know, retracts by saying Davar Shiyei Shlo Matir, and that's a din in Bittul. And that's true. I mean, the only time the Gemara explicitly ever articulates the din of Davar Shiyei Shlo Matirin is with respect to Afilu Be'elef Labata. The Gemara does have a Hava Mina in Beitza, and this is important, but we're not going to get too involved in this right now because we'll never get away from it. But the Gemara does have a view, it seems like a Machlokas Rav Ashi and the Chachamim, I believe, in that Sugyan Beitza, Gimel Amud Beis to Dalet Amud Aleph, that maybe Davar Shiyei Shlo Matirin also determines that Sveika Drabanon Lekula will not apply. So it's not only a Dinim Bittul, it's also a Dinim Sveika Drabanon Lekula. And the question is, Lahalacha, do we paskin that way or not? And that's a big discussion, and whether or not that's just a local question or that really affects how you look at Davar Shiyei Shlo Matirin. That might be important to something else. I'll make allusion to it soon. Again, I don't want to get too deeply involved in Davar Shiyei Shlo Matirin right now. We will get a little more, but I want to rein it in. But my point being that the Radvaz ends up dismissing it by saying Davar Shiyei Shlo Matirin is a din bittul. And I'm pointing out in the Gemara, it's only a din bittul, or maybe that's a debate, also Sveika Drabanan Lekula. Even if it includes Sveika Drabanan Lekula and it's not unique to the question of Roben bittul, right? The common denominator has to do with Hachraos Misafek. And certainly you can understand, we'll just talk about Rashi. There's a major debate between Rashi and the Ran in the Dharma and the base about Davar Shiyei Shlo Matirin. I believe we've mentioned it for the people in the past. Anybody familiar? Jonathan, familiar? Moshe? There's no Moshe here. Okay. David? No. Anybody familiar? Eitan? Benji? You go by Benji, right? Okay. Ellie? No one's, we didn't mention it? Ari?
Rashi.
Okay, what does Rashi say? Yeah, mitoshi ochlenu. When we don't use the microphone, I'll just repeat what the people say. Mitoshi ochlenu be isar tochlenu beheter. Which sounds like a very pragmatic idea. Like, why should you go out on a limb and take a risk, you know, when all you have to do is be patient, you know, and win the day. That's what it sounds like Rashi means. We're going to go with that for the moment. What is the view of the Ran? Ezra? I see Ezra on the screen. Familiar?
Not sure.
No?
I mean, doesn't the Ran say that
Bittul works? Is there a reason I can't hear Ezra?
I'm not sure.
Ezra's speaking, but I can't hear him. Hold on one second. Oh, because I'm the...
should be right.
Ezra wants to enlighten us. It's so frustrating. And here he's technologically being held back. Got it, Ezra? Hey, how come Moshe's not wearing a mask? Not on the Beis Medrash today?
I'm a little sick, so I figured that it's better to be safe. You hear me?
Hold on one second. We're just going to try. If we can't, we won't. But I do want to get both groups involved if I can.
Okay.
Because these are the kind of glitches that we... I was going to call on Romy, but I figured that wouldn't be fair. Unless I have to find out what they learned last year and...
figure out why this is not working.
It might be his microphone.
What?
I think Ezra said it's his microphone.
Oh. Yeah. I need your microphone.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's his own microphone.
No, his is working. His is working.
Does anybody else work?
To call in.
Okay, how about Moshe Spurn? Can you speak?
I tried speaking, but he didn't hear me.
What? Also not. Oh, we got a glitch. Okay. Well, while we're trying to... I heard somebody. Oh, that's me. I don't want to hear that. Okay. So anyways, for now, until we get everybody, we're going to get to, we're going to master this. We're, by the time we finish this, this is going to be like a seamless, you know, work of art. Right? Anyways, so there's a debate between Rashi and the Ran. Rashi is of the opinion that, again, it sounds like it's about risk aversion, or why not, you know, do the certain thing, you know, if it just requires patience. The Ran and the Darim is important. We're not going to spend much time on it, but it's important to know just for the little that we are going to do. Has a very famous view. I see Natan at least is nodding, right? All the Yoredeya people for sure are nodding. I believe we've discussed Rav Sheish Lamatirin last year also. We talked about Sfek Sveika and things like, right, Eitan?
Yeah.
You're familiar or not?
I remember now, yeah.
The Ran has a famous view in which he says, they can still see us?
Yeah.
Okay. The Ran has a famous view in which he says that Dabar Sheish Lamatirin is in the category of Heter Beheter. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. We'll discuss more about this. And that is that in Dine Taroves and Bittol, there's a view, Rabbi Huda, that min bimino eno batel. Min bimino eno batel because it's too like-minded. There's no clash. It's a fascinating idea. Min she'eno bimino, when you have two different minim, so then the idea is that there's a kind of a struggle for the identity of the object because you have two mutually, you know, you have two different, you know, identities. And in the presence, the coincidence, let's say, the coexistence of two identities in one object is problematic. And therefore there's like a implicit, you know, mutually exclusive struggle that goes on in which one is going to dominate. And therefore we have the dinam abitol. But when you have min bimino, you know, they're too like-minded. There's no clash. There's no need to decide. So they, you know, min bimino, according to one view, that's a machlokas, min bimino might be b'mashu. So we don't paskin that way, l'halacha. But the Ran suggests that we would paskin that way if the min bimino wasn't really min bimino, because it wasn't, just, you know, types of food, etc., or identities, but if it was something that had to do with heter and heter as opposed to heter and iser. That's when you have heter and iser, there's a clash, and therefore we have a principle of bitul. But if you have heter beheter, this is the Ran's contention, that's the ultimate min bimino, but even the Chachamim would agree is eno batel. Says the Ran, this is like, I think I've said this in the past, the question whether it's the most famous Ran in the Darim, or definitely in the top three. But the Ran's big chiddush is that Dovar Sheyesh Lamatirin is in the category of Heter Beheter, and that's why it's not Batal. Question is, what would the Ran do about the Hava Mina that Ravashi applied, Dovar Sheyesh Lamatirin, even to things like Sveikin Rabbanon Lekula? Bishlam Rashi, who holds that it's about risk aversion and certainty, like, why be machria if you could just be patient and get a sure thing? So in theory, that applies to Rove, and that applies to Sveika Drabana Lakula, and that applies to Sveika, and that may apply to many things. On the contrary, for Rashi, the question is, you know, is there a reason why you would limit it to Rove, you know, and not to other like-minded things? And for that, there are answers. We're just not going to go into them right now. But according to the Ran, who seems to say that Dabar Sheyesh Lamatirin is very specifically about the principle of min bimino and min she'eino bimino, meaning the dinam abitol, so why would it apply to anything else? How could it apply to Svek Sveika? How could it apply, you know, to Svek and Rabban Lekul? How could there be such a view? Which is why I alluded to before that the debate in the Gemara might be not just a technical question about assessing the local application, or just, you know, where to draw the line, it might be a fundamental question about how Dabar Sheyesh Lamatirin works. Our Achronim would suggest that, you know, the consequence of paskening, you know, that Davshe Shomatirin applies or doesn't apply to Sveikin Rabban and Lekula may depend on whether you hold like Rashi or the Ran, and maybe that's Gufa, the Machlokas and the Gemara, or things of that sort. I don't know if you need to go so far. I think there are other things to say to explain both positions in a little more of a precise way. We'll get a little bit to that. But either way, we get the basic idea. What am I trying to point out? That according to that, we can now certainly understand better what it is that the Radvaz himself says when he rejects this view. Again, one more time. The Radvaz was suggesting that what's unique about Chametz is consistent with the fact that it is ke davar sheyesh lo matirin. And therefore, you know, we should be machmir, just like we're machmir when we say the davar sheyesh lo matirin afilu be'elef lo bata. So then the Radvaz turns around. I think I have the language here in my own. Right, the Radvaz makes a suggestion, as we discuss, and he says, one second. Again, the suggestion was here. Were we able to get the sound back?
We could try, I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll try in a second. The suit of Chametz have a kid davar sheyesh lo matirin, sharei isuro talui bizman. Right? V'achrei me'apesach hi ha-chametz mutter. The alpha bish is ha-chametz shehu mevar hi efshar shiha boheter, elim ken yavar b'bayimatze, sof sof, right, ha'ika chametz shiha mutter, other chametz, tainu osa shela avar Allah. We'll get back to that. It's an important point. Then it says, v'kashale, ta'aytamene desagi ha'aytayma linya na'filu b'elef labatel, kedav shesh lamatirin damrina na'filu b'elef labatel, aval chape sachar v'lesorfo l'shorsho l'hotzim r'shuso, lo yadanu lama. So this now becomes perfectly clear. I mean, what the Radvaz is saying is, davar sheyesh lo matirin, you know, which looks like a chumrah, is misleading. It's not really a chumrah because of Isur Zman, is it? That's what he's pointing out. It's more a function, an outgrowth of a kula. Now, if you wait, it'll become mutter. And therefore, you shouldn't employ, right, the risky, albeit often necessary, mechanism of rov and bittul, because, you know, there's no need to, you know, in this particular case. But that's not a reason, right, to be more. So in other words, that chumrah, that there's no bittul berov, which is a result of the kula of the fact that it'll be mutter. But all that is, again, whether you hold like Rashi, mitok sheochlenu, right, be'isar tochlenu beheter, or you hold like the Ran and you say it's min b'mino, you know, and therefore it's not batal because it's heter beheter, you know, what does that have to do with bedikas chametz? Right, or bal yirah, or kares, or isar mashu, what's it got to do with anything of that sort? Well, isar mashu, I guess, maybe wrote, but so that's why the Radvaz dismisses it. But I think to rehabilitate it, this is what I'm trying to get back to, is that maybe, first of all, it could be another perspective on davar sheyesh lo matirin afilu labatal, right? Maybe things that are isurei zman, or at least this particular, maybe that's what he means by the ke, whoever said it. Meaning, instead of saying isurei zman as a kula, even, albeit one which brings kumbras in the case of bittul, for technical reasons, maybe the right way to look at it is the way we're looking at it now, which is, you know, this substance, which we embrace and celebrate all year round, and then all of a sudden, you know, for 7 days a year, right, eight in Chutz Laretz, you know, it's toxic. It must really be toxic. Or on these days, it's obviously completely incompatible, you know, with the message. And if that's the case, then what we're saying is, you know, that it's the Yeshlo Matirin status, it's Isur Zman status, is just a reason why it's more Chomor Bizman Isuro. It must be really bad. Now, you don't have, logically, you don't have to reach that conclusion. You could say it's equal, that's good enough. You could say it's still less. but I'm suggesting you could say it's still more. Is that also another way to explain, you know, that Dovashay Shalom Batir Mafil Be'elef Labatel, because it's so chamor that there's no bittel, as opposed to Rashi and the Ran? Something to think about. Not sure. I'm a little bit reticent to say that, but I'm obviously not so reticent that I'm not going to throw it out to think about it. But either way, that is the idea. Either way, we're going to get back to this in just a minute. If that's the case, then we should really investigate whether there aren't other echoes of the of this lekula or lechomra of Dover Sheishlo, I'm sorry, of Iser Zman, never mind Dover Sheishlo Matirin, regarding comments. So I want to finish off the last point of the Radbaz and the Rabbin and Bechai first, but that's why we're going to come back to this in just a couple of minutes to talk about the actual din of Dover Sheishlo Matirin and whether it applies to chametz, as well as keeping our eye open all year round, but just with a couple of quick examples, to this question of Iser Zman being potentially a kula or potentially a chumra, which we'll get back to in just a minute. Before we do, so what is the Radvaz's own suggestion? We saw it already. Jonathan?
He gives the three possibilities that it's all like the parties.
No, so in the end, the final one.
Oh, the idea that like represents the Iser
Har. Yeah, that represents or Shabi Isa. And again, the kind of integration of the drush. I assume people could hear Jonathan or could not? Could not. That was a no, right? I'm still not hearing anybody here on the...
You can kind of make it out.
Okay, kind of make it out. Anyway, I'll always repeat it. But now I'm hearing you guys. That's good. So we can hear now? I guess. Okay, so
if you can hear, I just had it on Rebbe's Iser Zman point in the Radbaz. I think the Ritva very clearly does say that idea for the second answer of the Radbaz.
Say that one more time.
I believe the Ritva here does very clearly. He doesn't say Dover Sheishlo Matirin, but I think he very clearly says this idea of Iser Zman being the Chumrah.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, 100%. Good, yeah. And I think it's a very important principle. You could say, oh, it has nothing to do with Dover Sheishlo Matirin. Well, you know, as I say, that's why I was a little reticent, but thank you. Yeah, I'm going to get back to that, but thank you. Oh, good. So we can, is everybody audible now? Okay, we'll find out. I'll call in other people. Thank you, Nathan. It's like a breakthrough in technology in addition to good ha'ara about the Ritva. So, yeah. Here, do you want to try the microphone? Yeah, Eitan's about to make a comment.
Hello.
Can everybody hear?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a good dry run. Yeah.
Okay, sweet. the point that Rebbe was making about just a second ago, that it could be that in general, like the fact that something's not bought on Altar Rubes by the Rosh Hashanah is that maybe it gives it like more Chomer HaDavar. It's like, why would that be though? Why would it be that?
Why would Chomer HaDavar have anything to do with Bittul?
Right, yeah.
Or why would...
Why would it mean that something can't be about though?
If we assume that that was the case, that's a big assumption. We'll talk more about that. In other words, put it this way. You know, even once you assume Rashi, right, which is, or the Ran, frankly, but let's say Rashi in particular, which is you're already making the assumption, which is practically true, and that is that Rove, right, is a b'diavad, right? To use language again, those who were here last year, that we discussed the question of Efshe Levar, Tzorich Levar, and so on, right? I mean, the Ritva, right, happens to take the position that if you hold Achrei Rabim Lahatos, Zlina Basarov. So that's a Dinvadai. Right? That's why the Ritva, like the Balamars of the and the Ra'ah, was of the opinion that Efshar Levar, even in a case where you can be a Mavar or something, ain't Sarach Levar. But most Rishonim hold like, the Ramban and the Rajban, the Rov Rubam Shal Rishonim, or the opinion that Efshar Levar Sarach Levar. And their idea is that, you know, the as much as Rove works and you're supposed to use it when you're supposed to use it, right, in the end of the day, it's a leap of faith. It's Betorah Safek. Right. So once that is true, and again, in Metzius, it's certainly true. So is it so peculiar to say that, you know, that just like Rashi is saying, you know, you don't do it if you don't have to because there's a sure thing. We all understand that logic. Wouldn't you think that maybe, depending on what is at stake, how chomer the Isser, you know, really is, that maybe not that there are some Isserim that you just can't take a risk on? Right? The way I would say it to be more strongly is that maybe that's number one. That's on the pragmatic level, the answer to your question. I would say something more adventurous, I guess, more speculative, and that is maybe this whole idea establishes, they have this whole idea that, you know, that the Isser Zman Shabo is Dafka Chumra, and this is certainly something I've alluded to already, maybe both a kula and a chumra. Meaning, from the objective standpoint of a maisa avera, it would seem to make it less chumra. Because it's not a maisa avera, it's not metamte misalev, it's not a cheftza which is inherently, you know, abhorrent or toxic spiritually, and maybe even as a maisa avera. But there's a tremendous amount of evidence, which you're going to see all year round, and that is that lakula and lachumra, right? For some, it's only lakula. For some, it's only lachumra. But in my opinion, for enough, there's lakula and lachumra evidence that it's the association with chametz that is already aser. And that's different. That's the chumra part, as opposed to the ma'isaver and the cheftza shel iser per se. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what you might say is, well, bittul or something like that, mechanisms like that, they take care of the, you know, chafta shalisa, the maisa veira, but, you know, knowing, you know, that there's some, again, I think you could say this in either way, you could say the opposite too, right? What I'm saying is chavetz as an iser zman or something like it, I'll qualify that soon and well, is just different. And therefore, maybe you're made more mekel and maybe you're more machmir, but it's the tziruf or the zika or the connection to it, in a way. I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but this is what we're trying to develop. That is aser, and therefore that doesn't go according to the standard rules. Okay, so that's a very good question. I'm glad you challenged me on that, and that's what I think is the answer. So again, in the third of the sar should be Isa answer, you know, which again is kind of in that direction. But the question, of course, this is like some of you asked me, and that is, well, why is that limited to, you know, what, the Yetzer Hara is permitted all year round, and it's only the 7 days of Chag HaMatzos where we're concerned about Sa'or Shabisa, right? So I think that the answer is, obviously, that this symbol of Sa'or Shabisa only applies on Chavetz because of the Yetzer. But I'll just give you also my own, I don't think, know if there's what the Radvaz had in mind, but I'll give you my own preferred version of it. And that is that chametz represents unconstrained growth. And sa'or, we're going to discuss the relationship between chametz and sa'or. That's a huge issue. So again, Beitza and the Rambam and the Ravid. We'll talk about that as well. But Sa'or in particular is the catalyst for growth. Now the idea in Chametz then is basically uncontrolled or an expansion, physical expansion of the object. And I think that the idea is, again, this is the Hashkaf idea, but since the Radvaz is bringing it in, you know, I'll just tell you what I think either he means or one might say. And that is that Klal Yisrael in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim experienced physical liberation. And the danger was you know, that it would remain focused on the unshackling, you know, of their physical status as slaves. And of course, the goal was to harness, you know, halu avdei Hashem velo avdei paro. The danger was, you know, that you're casting off the shackles of, it sounds like a song, casting off the shackles of slavery, you know, and now there's physical freedom. And of course, im ben chorin elamisha oseik b'torah mitzvos, or halu avdei Hashem velo avdei paro, requires that you rein in and that you channel, right, that newfound freedom. And I think, you know, again, a short part of the story, but the fact that chametz is forbidden in kodshim generally is related to this idea. And the fact that it is permitted as a proportion, you know, in the Korban Toda, and that it is the signature definition of the Korban Shtei Halechem on Shavuos, which is Man Matan Torah Seinu in the time of Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim, is not a coincidence. And again, it defines the Kedushas, not for now, the Kedushas Hayom of Shavuos itself. So in that respect, the idea is that when you just have physical liberation, right, then unconstrained growth, physical growth, is the greatest danger, you know, that you can encounter, and it's anathema and it's toxic. What you need right away is the discipline of shmira and matzah. Again, I hope this is not just good drush. I really think this is the theme of chametz and of matzah in that respect, and we'll be speaking about it recurringly. On Shavuos, where you have a commitment to Taryag Mitzvos in a tangible way, you know, it's then that you can finally allow, you know, the unrestricted growth, even in Kodshim, even in the Mikdash, which is the Korban of Shtei Alech. And the context of Toda also, which is a certain kind of perspective, you know, where already you're exhibiting a certain sensitivity and a certain understanding of your role vis-a-vis the Rabbanu Shel Olam, you know, a proportion of physical, you know, growth, let's say, is also a factor. Anyways, so that is what I'm suggesting. Now, Rabbeinu Bachai has a different take. Again, to me, the details of which themes you accentuate is less important than, you know, this broader idea of how, you know, the Zman is koveya, that certain messages are just completely, messages that Kol Hashana are either neutral or maybe even positive, right? That all of a sudden, you know, this becomes something which is mutually exclusive to and antithetical, right, to the bigger idea, whatever that idea happens to me, whether it's Sar Shabbi Isor or the idea that I just presented, or the idea of Rabbeinu Bachai. So Rabbeinu Bachai does underscore the kares, and he says one of the reasons for the kares. Benji, you saw it? Rabbeinu Bachai? Didn't get to it yet? David?
I think that it was like, go kares, go against the Sidus Hadin.
Well, the kares, yeah. So basically, he focuses in on the principle of whether or not we accentuate Midas Hadin and Mizrachim. Again, I'm always a little bit wary because I don't want to get into Tamei Mitzvos. I'm not interested, as I say, in the details so much as the idea that the theme of Chag HaMatzos is what determines here that the symbol, right, becomes, which is normally acceptable, becomes out of bounds. So this is our Rabbeinu Bachai in Parshas Bo. Let's get somebody from the screen there. I was trying to get to Ezra before. Can we hear Ezra now? Ezra?
Hi, and so are.
Oh, amazing. You guys can hear that, right? Yeah. Okay. Ezra, go ahead. Do you have the Rabbeinu Bachai in front of you? Ezra?
Yeah, yeah.
And just read the relevant passage, and I'll tell you what I think that means. And I think it's... Go ahead.
Ki b'chol zek yad hoti Hashem eschem so mizeh v'lo yochal chametz. So ma'an yochametz yetzel chol zek yad. Aba akasev v'lermoz ki achametz remez l'midas adin. V'mepnei shi Yisrael hisiyu hayad agdola shahaya midas adin alkein asar v'herchek lahem es achametz. L'lermoz lahem shi yirchiku me'lahamin b'midas adin. Kilo a yad bovad a sazos, Valkane Amar Kibuzekado Tia Shem Eslam, Kiashem Hamoti, Lo a yad bovad. Zatam is her chametz al derka Kabbalah. Umizahenish Akasov as a ochal chametz of Pesach, Wichi of Karis, Mida Kanagan Mida. Kiko ochal chametz of Pesach, Inehu Mekote, Mekatet, Benetios. Valkane Venikrasa Nefeshahi, Bahavinze.
Okay, so once again, Rabbeinu Bechai is mixing, you know, halacha and hashkafa. You know, the Rishonim do it, it's something that we should take note of. You can also still be careful about it. What is that? Oh, okay. So, but great reading. So, but what's the idea here? How would you characterize it in your own words? Ezra?
Yes, I'm not sure if I understand all these, but that chametz somehow represents midas adin and matzah midas rachamim, and we want to not only have exclusively midas adin.
So what is it about midas adin which is so, I mean... The Rebbeinu Bechai is very careful. There's nothing wrong with Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin is the original blueprint of the world, or at least, I wouldn't say original, let's say it was the first component, you know, maybe in the actual plan, I don't want to get into that right now, of the world. Obviously, Midas Hadin is very important. But the Shitef HaKadosh Baruch HaShem Lelokim, the Rachamim Ledin, isn't just like, you know, a truth. It's not just a theological truth. Apparently, it is important as a principle, not just to know that it is so, like it's not a, you know, one of the, you know, Yud Gimel, you know, beliefs, you know, that is required. It's not a principle. There's something about it. What is there about Midas HaRachamim and Midas HaDin, you know, that is important here? Midas Adin connotes what? Cause and effect. And a natural result. Right? Midas Adin means that something is justified. Meaning quid pro quo. Midas Adin. Right? And that's obviously very important. It's about justice. In justice, if I behave in a certain way, if I receive a certain reward, or I am dealt with, right, in a manner, you know, which reflects some sort of special stature, right? Then if the world is run in Midas Adin, Ezra, then what? What does that imply?
That you'll get what you deserve.
That I get what I deserve. You know, strict justice. Which means that there is no special relationship. There's no chesed. Right, and there's no special legacy or destiny, you know, reflected by this. So I think that this is, you know, again, especially in light of, you know, the Ramban influence, you know, on Rabbeinu Bechai and everything. So of course, the Ramban's big theme on Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim in general, and especially the contrast between Maaseh Bereishis and Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. But at the end of the day, you know, the presentation of Shabbos in the second Aseret HaDibros also, as the Ramban points out, proves the overlap of these two ideas, is that, you know, Bria Sa'ola mostly accentuates, you know, belief in the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, and in a natural order and so on. And we'll get to that in just a second. And Yetzias Mitzrayim, according to the Ramban, is the symbol of Hashkacha and Bechirat Yisrael. That's one of the reasons, according to Ramban, why Enoch Hashem Elokecha is not Hashem Barasi Shemayim Ba'aretz, but Asher Otzei Sicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. In addition to the other reasons that are given. The Ramban, in the end of Parshas Bo, and as a leitmotif throughout everything that he wrote, always thinks that Yitzias Mitzrayim, right, is what proves not only Emuna, not only existence, not only Yediya, right, divine knowledge and interest, but especially Hashkacha and Hashkacha Pratis and Bechiras Yisrael, Segulas Yisrael. So in a way, I'm expanding, clearly, but this is what I think Rabbeinu Bechai also has in mind, and that is that Chametz means is a symbol of Midas Adin. And if that's what it was, then Klal Yisrael somehow deserved their redemption. And this is just a function of that. But our tradition is anything but, right? So they didn't deserve it. They were on the threshold of, the 50th of the Sharei Tumah, right? It was very much a function of Rachamim and of the Havtacha, Bris Ben Abisarim and everything else. And it's important that this established this relationship which transcends, in some cases, quid pro quo. That's a critical belief. And Chametz, right, is the opposite of that. Even in Maisa Bereishis itself. First of all, you have Shitev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas HaRachum LeMidas HaDin. That's why it's Hashem Elokim, as we know. But even the Ramban himself, this is very important, in the beginning of Bereishis, speaks about Yesh Me'ayin as if it is a Ikar HaEmuna. For the Rambam, it's not. Even though the Rambam believes in it, but he doesn't believe that it's an Ikar HaEmuna. The Ramban does. He elevates it. And partially, again, because the Ramban was very sensitive to this idea that, ha'olam kiminhago noeg, that, nature is impressive, right? But it is cold and it is inconducive, if all there is nature, to a special relationship between man and the Ribbono Shel Olam, or Klal Yisrael as a nation and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yesh me'ayin, shows purpose to the creation and puts Teva and Midas HaDin not as a natural reality, but as something which is a mechanism which is also used in the relationship between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbeinu Bechai is basically saying that Midas HaDin exclusively, of course Midas HaDin plays an important role, but Midas HaDin exclusively is rejected through the intervention of the Ribbono Shel Olam in Mitzrayim. That's the principle of Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim, Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, the Iser of Chametz, the embrace of Matzah. All these things bespeak, right, this notion of Am Segula, and the intervention bespeaks that special bond and relationship. Ignoring that, treating it as if it was, either a coincidence or an act of nature or something which is a quid pro quo and deserved, right, completely undercuts, right, the concept. And it's like Kotzei Tzpinatios. What is Kotzei Tzpinatios in the world of, of course, is something familiar with the Sugyas and Chagiga and other places, and especially in the world of Kabbalah, that Kotzei Tzpinatios means it, like, you create a natural world as opposed to like a divine intervention, world. It's Kotzei Tzpinatios is basically look for a single unifying principle which is exclusive, right? And if there are other principles, then they're antagonistic to it. It's the combination of Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachamim, right, that is the idea behind Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the takeaway from this, mostly, like the Radvaz, or like what I'm suggesting, is that the themes that are punctuated, that are, projected on this holiday during this seven-day period, this, special bubble, the aftermath of the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, these themes are completely contingent upon the symbols of chametz and matzah. Of course, this has a lot of implication for the relationship between chametz and matzah itself, you know, as we will discuss. And it's interesting that this same idea, I think I mentioned, was picked up by other figures in the same generation. Two Talmidim of the Rashba pick up the same idea of Midas Adin, Midas Arachamim. One is, I think I mentioned, the Tzora Chaim, which is a Talmud of the Rashba, who says, why does the Masechta begin with Or Larba Asar instead of Leil Arba Asar? So he says, Al Zah Inan Hitkila Tana Or Larba Asar, Bodkin is a Chametzar Ner, but Larotzel the Shanus Leil, Lomar Kiazman Azeh, this is on page 2 of this Torah, so we've shown him, Kiazman Azeh Yanoeg Am Yisrael Midas Rachamim, Aspaklaria Hameira. V'deu desiv v'ya'er es halayla. Ratzalomar ki midas halayla mi'iro midas ha'or v'halayla nishtanu v'chazar kol rachamim. Zeu mashakosiv leil shimurim. That's interesting, different rayas. Leil ha'meshumar ba'min ha'manzikin. V'tzivanu levayar ha'chametz ki ha'chametz zecha ledin milashon ashro chamotz, etc. U'bizman hazeh ein bo shum chimetz, etc. That's one example of this. Again, the details are less important.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better in Rabbeinu Bachya's approach that Pesach shouldn't be kulo matzah, but both chametz and matzah, as opposed to the way Rabbi Rosenzweig explains the idea?
Well, I guess because, you know, chametz is the staple of our diet all year round, so the way to emphasize the rachamim part, and again, I think, you know, the Yetzias Mitzrayim party saying isn't din at all. I think generally our relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam is partly through nature and partly through hashgacha, part based on our own actions, part based on the special destiny and legacy and the special relationship, you know, that we have. But I guess on, you know, to accentuate what was unique, you know, and what stands out in addition to overcompensation. You know, you, again, it's interesting, you don't have to eat matzah all the days either. We'll get to that. But, so, I hear it, but it doesn't trouble me. Just let me get to Rabbi Yeshua Ibn Shui Ibn here as well, since I mentioned it. And he has a very strong, MS, here, one second. He starts off, again, he's also a Talmud of the Rajba. V'yesholim, lama hichmira Torah levar isu chamat yosem shari surin. Kechelev the dam sheishvem kares yeshivarshim kechelev the dam lahoylem shasa kosher. Okay, behem asurim b'achilu b'dili in shemine. So he's using Isra's man in that way, of course. Av chametz kol hashana lo b'dili. B'imkei lama tzricha Torah lenazir kishosel lo yain shivaruhu mirshuso shekvar hayla shasa kosher. So the nazir question obviously is answerable. Some rishonim explicitly answer it. We all have enough ingenuity to figure out the answer. But he didn't like it, and for that reason didn't like it, or it was a straw man, I'm not really sure. But listen to what he says. Aval ha'emes, shezeu misodos ha'Torah. Again, it starts off with a halachic question, right? About bedikas and bir chametz, and why manishtana. Ha'emes shei misodos ha'Torah, she'inyan chametz v'isuro hu chomor me'od, the achilas hamatzah mitzvasa gedola. Here he's bringing in matzah on the contrast. Al derech haKabbalah. Again, I don't want to get into the Kabbalah parts, but ki achametz remez lamidas adin hakasha shitzilanu haKadosh Baruch Hu mitzrayim mimaves v'asav b'mshvatim al yada the siva yaris hayada gedola v'ksiv yamincha Hashem yado achas mishakasan ki chametz mo rechizuk lechein nikra yayin chometz, interesting. Skipping. L'chein korban amincha shul ratzon tziva shelo aviyo min advarim shelam ayad chazaka l'chametz v'lo dvash shul matok biyoter. This is similar to what the Ramban says on the Torah. Ela mihamizugim kimo abriya Hashem Elokim shiteif midas adin b'midas harachim b'ro. It's not a coincidence. Obviously, this was a thought that was going around. But l'chein ba'atzeres, here he has, each one contributes something the other doesn't, meaning on Shavuos, hamazug chametz umatzah, by which he obviously is referring to the korban shtei halachim. Aval bePesach kulo rachamim. Right, Josh? Kulo. V'lachein ba hamatza b'din hakarban. Even, in other words, it's such, you know, whether you like the exact explanation or not, it's so powerful. I mean, the facts are powerful. And that is that kol hashana, chametz is prohibited pretty much, you know, from karbanos. Right? And on Pesach, even, you know, bigvulin, you can't eat chametz. And what you do instead, matzah, is a symbol of what you can normally eat in the mikdash. You can make it as a standalone, right? And then on Shavuos, right, you have exactly the opposite. Even in the mikdash, you eat chametz. That's kind of what he's pointing out. And that's l'chein ba hamatzah b'din hakorban. Right, there are other indications in the Rishonim and Achronim of this as well, that matzah is patterned after a mincha. The Nasar HaChametz, B'tzivanu l'harchiko, if you listen to his language, unlike the Radva, Ke'inyan avarazara, va'ochlo mekatzeitz b'netios. Right, it's not a coincidence, like these, you know, Rabbeinu B'chai, the Rajba, the Talmidei HaRajba, l'chein isuro b'mashu. Okay, so the Rabbeinu B'chai mentioned Kares. He's mentioning, remember, this whole piece starts off with Bal Yiroah, Beer. He's comparing to avodah zarah, mekatzitz b'netios, l'chein iser mashu, v'lebatel k'ein avodah zarah mamish, v'lechein samchu ha-Torah la'avodah zarah. In the psukim himself, there's a smichus between avodah zarah and chametz. Elokei masecha lo sa'asalok, escha gamatzos tishmor. Right? Shmos lamedalad yud zayin, shmos lamedalad yud ches. U'kemosh atziva b'avodah zarah v'lo tavi to'eva l'beisacha. This is interesting, because Radvaz argued that it's not like Avodah Zarah, it's even more chomer than Avodah Zarah. Okay, but he's not going that route. That just like there's a losavi toeva el beisecha, which is, you know, an iser shihia to have Avodah Zarah in your home, shaketz tishaktenu, v'chein b'chametz ubitaruvasa, which is interesting. He thinks it's an iser of tarovas chametz, an iser shihia, which is a debate between Rashi and the Bali Tosis. We'll get to that. Kimo Avodah Zarah. V'chein kasu chazal l'chapes u'l'chatei t'acharav afilu akelim sh'nishtamish adam b'hem chametz tzivu l'harchikam, etc. So this is, again, these are emblematic of the approaches that the they don't say because of the Yisr Zman, that's maybe only the Radvaz quoted suggestion, but again, these are all based on the idea that we're dealing not with a psychological bedili minei, but with the actual chomer hachametz, but the chomer hachametz given, right, the particular message and the incompatibility of that message with matz, with the chametz, right, during this particular tkufa. So in light of this, let's go back to the question of Dabar Sheish Lamatirin and Yisr Zman. So firstly, let's talk about the Mechilta. Anybody get a chance? It was in brackets. I don't know if... let's see. We'll get try to do Micah or Micha. Do you have a chance to see the Mechilta?
I'm sorry, I didn't. Yeah.
I think we're in L.A. There's not much else to do right now.
I'm still working.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In that case, we're just applaud your presence.
Thanks.
And we'll leave it at that. Lior Levinson?
Yeah, Rebbe. The Mechilta talked about learning Sreifa Chametz from Notar.
Excellent. So the Mechilta discusses the relationship, right? Why do you need Sreifa for Chametz? Right? That's another thing. It's not just that there's Bir Chametz. It's that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Bir Chametz B'Sreifa, right? Which is way more emphatic. We'll discuss, of course, the relationship between Rabbi Huda's view and the Chachamim's view, and whether it's a qualitative difference or not, and something that was made famous by Reb Chaim, but even before Reb Chaim, clearly the issue, whether Hashpasasa b'chol davar and Sreifa, you know, is a technical argument or something that goes to the core of, you know, the nature of the Isra Chametz. We'll get to that. So the Mechilta discusses that question. Do you need Sreifa in Chametz or not? Excellent. So, Lior, what does he say? Lior?
Yeah.
You're doing great. So what does he say?
Yeah, just pulling that up 1 second.
I think the group can hear you. They can hear you better than they can hear me.
Yeah.
You're agreeing.
All right. I'm not sure. All right. I got it.
We'll be neutral on that one. So what is the good? That's a topic. The topic is, how do you know that chametz is besreifa? So what does the Mechilta say that's interesting about it? He goes through a number of different, tries to learn out from Nosar.
Right? Yeah.
Nosar requires,
and a few other things also.
Right. So he says, like, you know, but maybe you should compare it to Nevela, and maybe you should compare it to all sorts of other things. So in the end, the Mechilta, you have the line, and the Mechilta comes up with, no, there are like four. Here, 1 second, I wrote it down somewhere. There are like four ingredients. 1 second. What are the four ingredients?
Yeah, he says Asr be'achila v'asr be'hana v'chayav in lav kare v'hasman garam.
Oh. Okay. So the, again, one more time slowly. Asr be'achila.
Asr be'achila v'asr be'hana v'chayav in lav kare v'hasman garam.
Yeah. So first of all, it's just interesting, in light of the Radvaz, right, who was saying, you know, why is there all these chumras? Because you have not only one, you have one, you can neutralize it, you know. You have a second one, second fact, each one you can neutralize, but where do you have the combination? Right. Anyway, so in the Mechilta, you have the combination not of three, but of four. Achila, Hana'a, Kares. Sorry, the Radvaz had Bedili, he's not working with Bedili. What's the fourth one? Shazman, Garam, correct? So what's there to say about this, Lior, when you saw it? You thought that, well, yeah, you yawned or you jumped up?
A bit of both.
Nice. You were yawning while you were jumping, or you were jumping while you were yawning? Okay. So what do you think about it?
Well, I think we can tie it obviously back into your theory about, you know, Dover Shazman Matirin or the Isser Zman, maybe implying.
It sounds like Dover Shazman Garma, again, to be fair and intellectually honest, it could just be, and this is a methodological question, that we're just trying to figure out the affinity between Chametz and Nosar as opposed to other things. And maybe that this is a methodological question. Like, does anything go when it comes to that kind of a limud and drasha, namely that, you know, the, like a pircha koldehu or, you know, a smich, a smachta koldehu, meaning, if you want to know whether to compare chametz to nevela, et cetera, or to nosar. So another thing they have in common is hazman, garman. Okay. That, and if you say that, then it's innocuous. Obviously, what I have in mind, and the yawning part, but jump. But typically, you would think Shahaz and Gorman, there wouldn't be a reason to be Mechayev Yisreifa. Right. So if it's just a, you know, just factually, you know, is this for whatever reason? You know, we're collecting facts. Does it belong to Nosar? Does it belong to Nevela or the others? Fine. But if we assume that this is all a way of characterizing the Chomer HaDavar, or even more so the nature of the Davar, right, then saying Hazman Garman is telling you that that's a Chomra, not a Kula. That's very important. Typically, you would think, Hazman Gorman is a Kula. But in the case, and in the case of Nosar, and this we're going to get, bring us into the, to the next point, is this a good Nizman Gorman of David? Nizman Gorman of Nosar is the same as Nizman Gorman of Chametz? I mean, obviously they do have something in common. Right, as opposed to Nevela, right? But what's a glaring? What's a glaring difference? on the surface. Seth?
Not sure. Is it the
closer of the serum? What? Closer of the serum? No. Okay. I mean, the closer of the serum, that, you know what? That is true. And maybe that reflects a little bit.
Could it be the shame?
Oh, exactly. Meaning, no sar is only no sar when it's no sar. Okay. That was a very profound statement, by the way. We'll get to that. Meaning, no sar doesn't go in and out of, I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
No sar is, you know, is generated by a process, you know, in which you know, requires that you have the regular kachim, that you know, neglect it, and then it becomes no sar. That's what no sar is. It's part of its hagdara, right? Is the same true about chametz? So again, if you want to highlight it, which is what I think you were doing, you know, chametz is going to is asur on chametz. It was mutter, it is now asur. It again, in some respect, is going to be mutter, and then again, it's going to be asur. It's zman garman, right? Both the earlier iteration difference between it. That's nosar wasn't, there was never nosar which was mutter, right? It was this cheftza which became nosar. Once it's nosar, it, you know, for the first second it's nosar, it's asar, the shame nosar. And once it's nosar, it's forever asar. Now, does that really matter in the end of the day or not? Maybe it's a difference, a distinction without a difference, or? Put it this way, an inconsequential distinction. That's the question. Obviously, for the Mechilta, you know, it's good enough to distance it from the other, you know, paradigms, or actually really good enough. So where you have a parallel to this same, an interesting parallel, there are other discussions of Nosar too, we'll discuss them and then we'll get to the Gemaras later on, is, I don't know how far you are in the Marmakomos, Benji? Anybody do the Stephen, right?
Yeah.
Where else did you see?
No, I was going to ask something else, but.
Did you get a chance to look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? Ayin Vav?
Yes.
You did? Ah. What is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Ayin Vav?
It's talking about Bliya, no?
Talking about Bliya. Okay. What about Bliya?
About the difference between Blias, Blias
Isser,
and Blias
Heter. Blias Isser and Blias Heter. Heterabala and Isurabala. Okay, a lot of you made Siyumim last year. Mazel tov to all the Mesaimim. I didn't get a chance to say it directly. The Yeshiva learned in its Night Seder program last year, Masechet Avodah Zarah. So if you learn the whole Masechta, the payoff you get is that you get to learn, you know, Daf Ayin Vav, which is like one of the most, the last Daf, and it's like one of the most exciting Dafim. So I figured we should, you know, begin the year, you know, by continuing from that, right? So this is Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. What's the Gemara contrasting? Yeah, what two things?
Avodah Zarah and Nevela.
Avodah Zarah and? Avodah Zarah and? Kachim, which kachim?
For us.
Yeah, but what specifically? This is like, you know, I'm just telling you, just not saying it. No sar.
Yeah.
Right? The Gemara there wants to know, what's the issue? How do you remove the Bliya? Okay, how, let's see if some of the Mesaimim are on top of this. Hoodie. How do you remove the Bliya? What are the two?
I'm unfortunately not one of the Mesaimim.
Say again?
I'm unfortunately not one of the Mesaimim.
You're not one of the Mesaimim? I wasn't either, so don't feel too badly. But I think you join with me in congratulating the rest of them?
Yes.
Okay, I agree. Tani, in the Yeshiva Shamala, with a quotation.
I wasn't one of the Mesaimim, but it's Goa.
I don't know, they gave me a list of like 20 guys in the shir who were Mesaimim. Okay, so what was it?
Hagala?
Yeah, or what's the choice?
Hagala or Liban.
Hagala or Liban. Actually, we don't even need Avodah Zarah because we learned, although we didn't discuss this part of it, we learned Chul and Daf Ches, right, which is also one of the Makorah, one of the main sources. Do you need to do Liban or Hagala? So there seems to be a discussion in the Gemara about that. Well, we're going to stop in one more minute. Do we have Mincha here? Yeah? Okay, good. Sorry. I hope that didn't come off as like Loeg Larash. You know, I shouldn't have said that. But, yeah. We're looking forward to having the reverse where most of the people are in the room, you know, and, then we'll have to be, different people have to be careful. But the Gemara speaks about whether or not you require to neutralize Blias Iser, Hagala or Libun. Hagala is Pole. This is generally the way it's understood, meaning it removes the Blias Iser from its absorbed state where it can affect other things. Whereas Libun is more of a, destroys the Chefta Shel Iser. I mean, they're qualitative. They work in different ways. So the Gemara, trying to explain mixed evidence, says that Avodah Zarah requires Libun, and Nosar requires only Hagala. The Gemara says, Kan Isurabala, referring to Avodah Zarah, Kan Heterabala, referring to Nosar. Okay, what about Chametz BePesach? Stephen, you saw it. What's the story there?
On one of the days we say, over here in Rabaki, who said he was not for Galiban, and we hope that he just needed to do roast skin.
It sounds like roast skin, and that's just Hagala. So the Balitosis, right? Alatar, what do they do? They ask this question. We'll start with this, I guess, tomorrow. We'll finish up this. And I just wanted to bring in one Mishnah Melech before we begin. Just throw this out, and then we'll start with it on Thursday. What do they do?
So they ask the question of that's why we need people by other cases, but not by...
Why does it seem like Chametz it's enough for Hagala when other Makoros, we'll look at them very quickly on Thursday, when we finish with this, seem to think that you require Libun? So there's a debate between the Rishon. What did Bali Tosa say here and in Avodah Zarah?
So we give two answers. One is that here we're dealing with nice.
Yeah, whether or not it's Tashmisho Al Yidei Ha'or or Tashmisho Barotkin. Mm-hmm. Or that's important, but that's not for us right now.
And the another answer of that it was Tetnabala.
So Tosa says in Avodah Zarah, and in Psachim, both places, that Chametz is like Nosar, it's in the category of Hetera Bala. And therefore, you will get away with Hagala. And who disagrees?
Ramban
and Avodah Zarah, and it's also quoted by the Ran here in Psachim, disagrees and thinks that Chametz is also in the category of Isura Bala, and you can't compare Nosar and Chametz. Why can't you compare them?
Because
Chametz
is not
Nosar,
where
what's happening? Yeah, because Nosar didn't have a shame Nosar, Behetera. You know, now it's a Nosar Bisura. The Bliya took place when it was something else. It was Mutta Lagamri, says Ramban. Ve'achshav, now that it's Nosar, it's already been Nivla. So the Hetera was Beheter Gomor. And now that it's Nosar, right, it's Beheter Gomor, but that's not when the Bliya took place. As opposed to Chametz, we'll look at this next time. As opposed to Chametz, which... Shemoa love is a language that the Ramban uses. It even if it was Nivla, Bismanatero, it's still Chametz. the Blia, Nosar was never Nivla as Nosar. He was Nivla as Basar. But Chametz, even Behetero, was Nivla, says the Ramban, as Chametz. So the Ramban says, you can't compare Nosar and Chametz, at least not with regard to this halacha. What he would say about the Mechilta might be that with regard to what the Mechilta needs, that's different. Maybe Blia is different. But the Bali Tosas think it's not true. They think that Chametz is a Terabala. Now, just to make it clear, right, in the distinction between a Terabala and Isurabala, that's a Kula. Right? They were talking about Chametz as a Kula, but it's a misleading Kula a little bit, because it's a Kula in relating to Chametz on Pesach, Betor, when it was Chametz. It's not its effect on Pesach as an Iser Zman, right? It's relating on Pesach to the effect that Chametz has now, right, which was triggered by Zman Hetero. Okay, and even then, the Ramban thinks that it's Isurabala. So that's an interesting case. I'll give you one other just to food for thought, and then we'll pick up with this next time. That, of course, is the Mishnah LeMalach, in the name of the Marnach. Okay, Elisa, go ahead. What's the issue, which we're going to expand on anyway, but... The problem of Chatzi Shir, I'll translate. Exactly. What's the issue? Correct. The Rambam, in his presentation of the Isser of Chatzi Shir and Chametz, very, very important, quotes a separate pasuk, Lo Yeachel. This is also going to be something we're going to discuss separately. And the Nosei Kelim, some of them ignore this. The Magid Mishnah, for example, just says, oh, like he yawns, and he quotes the Gemara in Masechet Yoma, which is the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish and the Sugya of Chatzi Shir. Says, yeah, Chatzi Shir, Osir Minat Torah, you know, just like the Gemara in Yoma. Others, like the Kesef Mishnah, are troubled if it really is based on the general din of Chatzi Shir. Why does Rambam quote a separate pasuk? It says, Kol Chelev is the Makar, not Lo Yeachel. Why do you need a special pasuk in Chametz? So we will elaborate more fully, but the Mishnah LeMelech quotes the Tshuva, the Marnach, who says what? So what does he say?
The regular din of Chatzi Shir, it doesn't apply to Chametz because Chametz is Moshe Kol Hashanah.
Oh, says the Marnach, quoted by the Mishnah LeMelech, because the din of Chatzi Shir and Kol Torah Kula applies, has its roots in Chelev. And then the Gemara applies it to other Isurim that apply. Interesting, by the way, the Gemara also does apply it to Yom Kippur. Right? Which is interesting. Because that also, obviously, there's no Isur Achila Kol Shana. It's a little bit different, but it's still curious. Says the Mishnah LeMelech, says the Marnach. But just because it's an Isur of an Isur Gomor that has Chatzi Shir doesn't mean that an Isur Zman has. After all, this is Mutar Kol Hashana. That's an example where they... Now, here we're talking, at least in the case of the Gemara Avodah Zarah and its application, the Gemara Psachim, about Tera Bali Surah Bala, we're talking about something which was Nivla Beheter, right? Although we're talking about the effect Bismani Sura. In the case of the Marnach, we're talking strictly about Chametz on Pesach, right? Even if you bake this chametz on Pesach, the fact that there is a kodem zman is a kula. That's not so pasha, right? If the blia bizmano harishon, you know, is a kula, and even that there's a debate, maybe it's like nosar. Does that mean that on Pesach itself, the fact that there exists a category of Mitchila is a Kula? Which is probably the reason that many of the Achronim don't give this answer. They give other answers, which we'll discuss. So once again, well, again, we'll still flesh out the hetero bala nisura bala, because there's more to say about that, and going back to the Mechilta. But in the Mechilta, in the Ramban versus Tosas on hetero bala nisura bala, right, and in this discussion of Chatzishir, once again, we encounter different perspectives whether or not Isur Zman is a Kula or it is a Chomra. And now we've also encountered whether or not it isn't a more complicated question a little bit than that. Not only in what I've been saying along, which is that maybe there are Kal and Chomor elements, and I was responding to Eitan earlier and alluding, you know, to the other allusions to it as well. But it might be even more than that. There might be that the perspective on whether Isur Zman is a Kula or L'Chomra, in theory, may depend on the actual timing. You know, when whatever it is took place. So if something was Nivla, Beheter, what about now Bizman Isur, as opposed to something which comes about only Bizman Isura? Or what about the fact that in the future something will be Mutter, right? Or after it's Mutter, it'll then again be Asur. So that, of course, touches on the question of Netano. And with this, we conclude. Netano. The question is something which will be Mutter, but also then will again be Asur. What issue is that?
Dover Shiesh Lomatirin.
Exactly. The question
is the Mordechai and the Rambam.
Exactly. Excellent. Is chametz itself davar sheyesh lo matirin? Something we need to discuss. A debate between the Rambam and Ramban on one side and the Chachmei Ashkenaz Rabbeinu Tam, you know, it's also quoted in the Mordechai, on the other. Okay, so I want to discuss those issues next time, Mirat Hashem, on Thursday, namely these Isur Zman questions, just to sort them out a little better. And then I want to move to Lo Ye'achel, which is part of this whole story too, and its effect. Okay? So we'll move forward. The Thursday is just Zoom, and we'll try to continue this format, assuming that, you know, those of you on the computer didn't suffer from it. You'll let me know. Okay. And Yasha Koch to the...